Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
All right. That's what I'm talking about, okay? Everybody should be in. Well, I'm waiting on Keisha to come on the line. Let's see. All right. Today's show, we do all the time, we're going to have some good topics going on. We're going to, first of all, I want to ask everybody, how are you doing? Let's start with Rita. Rita, the question I want to ask is, so, you know, because people are online listening and all of that, and we want to make sure that we, because I know I love the Lord, so I want to make sure that we are sharing how, you know, each one of us are doing. So we'll start with Rita, because we miss Rita for the couple of shows. So Rita, just fill us in on how the family is doing, you know, in the midst of what's going on right now.
We're doing great. Just trusting God in the process. Just basically keeping our mind, conditioning our mind and getting in contact, because truly enough, everything has been interrupted. Our usual plans and daily routines. And for me personally, you know, it's just being able to keep my mind and keep my perspective in contact and trusting God and believing Him in the midst of everything that's going on. Because right now it's so easy for anxiety and fear and all that, those things to set in, especially if you idle. So my goal is to always keep myself busy, but in spite of all that, we're doing great, and we're blessed.
Amen. Well, we shall miss you on these last couple of shows. These last couple of shows, we have been, listen, it has been some cold-blooded topics. Now, we went into a topic about if she know you have if she knows it, he has a woman, why would she sleep with him? Oh, my God. It was deep. We went in on it. Mm-hmm. So now, okay, so Rita's doing fine. Let's see. How you doing, Tammy? Tell us what's going on around you. Is everybody doing okay?
I am blessed and highly favored, despite of everything that's going on outside in the world around me. God has not skipped a beat with me yet. We're continuing to bless me. I just am super excited, as always, about getting on Wednesday with y'all and talk about some things that is supposed to be unifying our sisters. That is just what I'm so excited about. That is what my passion is at. I love all people because, you know, God says love thy neighbors. So I love all people, but I have a special place in my heart for my my black community, because that's who I can relate to, and because we get such injustice and we're so divided. I love my black people, and even further in that special place in my heart, I have another special place in my heart for my black women, because
Amen.
I can relate to you. I can relate to the struggle. I can relate to the everyday fight and struggle to be able to be, to just, you know, be able to be looked at as equal and not less than. So often this kind of being nothing, and we're greatly and wonderfully made. And right now I'm still in this conference. It's called the Virtual Prophets Conference, and it's going all the way to May 7th. I will be speaking May 1st. And at 12 o'clock Eastern, I pray everybody can make it. If you want to know more information in regards to it, I can send you the link on how to register for it. It's the virtualprophetsconcert.com. It will get you to be able to register, and you just put where, how did you hear about this? Put Tammy Lilly in there. And once you do that, you will go to the Virtual Prophets Concert, I mean conference, Facebook page, where you can listen in, because because initially it was supposed to be a live conference, but because of everything, some things had to be pivoted around, and sometimes we got to do that in life. When life throws a curveball, you know, don't let the curveball hit you. Step to the side, pivot around that curveball, and keep on stepping. So that's what we did. We pivoted, and it turned into a virtual thing. So God is good, you know. I just trust Him in all that He does, and I know that He's still in control, and that's what you kept. Stay fast to what I'm doing. You know, the Bible says, look to the hills for some of thy help. So sometimes we got to look up and see our help, and we know our help comes from the Lord.
It comes from the Lord. That's right. You know, I'm going to make a couple of announcements as well before we get into the topics. All right, Keisha Robinson, what's up, baby? How you doing? Oh, you're not on? Keisha, that's not
Maybe
you?
Maybe still on mute.
Yes, I'm on. I had the mute on. I have to still get used to unmuting.
That old mute, yes.
Good morning. I'm doing great. Rita, glad to hear you back on. I asked about you yesterday.
Okay.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes, how about you? We want to know what's going on with your family. Is everybody okay? You know, anything we need to pray about or pray for?
I just say, well, my grandmother is, she's doing a lot better, but, you know, constant prayer there. Just, you know, I really just stay in prayer, but, like, really for my grandmother. She just gives her strength and get up so she can come on back home, you know, where she really wants to be. You know, you know, really my constant, you know, all the time prayer right now. But me and my family are fine. Mom is great. Everybody's good. So I'm very, very thankful for that.
Amen. That's just wonderful to hear. Definitely want to keep a couple of my friends in prayer. Especially, I was watching the news, and I know everybody has been watching. This pandemic has hit not just the African American community real hard, but the elderly, nursing homes, the elderly have hit them really, really hard. And there's a couple of people I want to make sure that we all pray for. Just pray for those folks for me. I'm not going to give their names. I just want you to know it's two people I need y'all to put on your prayer list. We want to make sure that we keep the nursing homes and the, you know, the senior care facilities. We want to keep them lifted up because they're dying like 50, you know, it'd be 90 in a nursing home, I think I was watching, and 50 passed away. You feel what I'm saying?
Wow.
So we, it's really a serious attack happens in our, with our elderly. And we have to be responsible. And I know a lot of youth are young people, millennials, and not just millennials, because I don't like the point. That people like the point, millennials, literally. But I'll say my children's age, like from 25, let's say 19 to 25, they're just visiting and going and visit, you know, and they're not realizing that they are putting their grandmothers and mothers and fathers, grandfathers at risk. You know, aunties that are older, you know, we have a lot of elderly dying, and I want us to be more responsible with what we're doing, because it's not fair to them for young people to, even some people in my age bracket, 40-year-old, 30, run around, oh, the corona not real, and then you go over kissing grandma, hugging on her, you know, not even doing what you're supposed to do. They end up sick. You get what I'm saying? So I want us to be more responsible for what we're doing. You know, if you have, like my mother, I haven't seen my mother in weeks, and I'm not going to go over and see her until the coast is clear. And if I do go see her, I'm about to get some hand sanitizer, face mask, gloves, all kinds of stuff, because I don't want her to become a victim of this pandemic. And that's just the way it is. And we need to be responsible for what we do. Okay, I'm done.
Another,
you want to say, anybody want to say anything on that before I get into these couple of announcements I want to make?
No, I was just saying I agree. My grandmother's actually in a skilled nursing facility. And, you know, one of her things is she don't like to be by herself, so we hadn't seen her. But they have it set up where you can have window visits. So me and my grandkids, my daughter, my son, their mom, we all went yesterday and had the window visit, and it was quite interesting. They just call on the phone, and we call, and so we talk to each other, but we're actually looking at each other. And she seemed happy with that. And I told her, you know, we would be back Saturday because they only allow 2 a week. And she said she was looking forward to it. So, you know, a lot of them have things set up like that. So if you have someone in a skilled nursing facility, nursing home, find out what they are doing to meet the need of, visits. You know, hugging and loving on them is, you know, nothing can really beat that. But, you know, at this time, just like you said, Quinn, you can't do that. So, you know, go see about your people, your elder people. You know, go and see them.
Yeah. And then another idea I saw was a lady was collecting old cell phones and old tablets, and the nursing home staff would set up the tablets and stuff so that they could interact with their family. So it's all kinds of ways to get that done, okay? And I'm pretty sure they sterilize all equipment before they, you know, go in there and pass it out. So we gotta, it's ways to do things, y'all. Let's not, you know, I know that they're opening everything back up, but it don't mean that it's open. And I know our God is a big God and a powerful miracle working God, but He also wants us to function in wisdom. He said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, but some of us are perishing because we just straight up, we're not using wisdom. I'm just saying, you know, we're not using wisdom. So let's do so.
Right.
Okay, the announcement is, go ahead.
Hey, I just definitely want to say we have to have, in this season, we have to have a ear to hear. You know, because in the eye to see, and I realized I was dealing with a couple of people, and I say we're blind. Oh, I would say they're blind to what's happening because we get caught up in the media, and we trust in what the media is saying, well, some people trusting what the media is saying. And I said, we have to be in tune with God to hear what it is that he have us to do, because we're in such a trying time that if we don't focus and hear from God, you don't really know which direction to go and what you need to do. And I just think it's important that for those of us that are in tune with God and they have an ear to hear what God is saying, to try to instruct or direct. And personally, something I have been dealing with, everybody not going to listen. And for those that's not going to listen, you know, you have to just some way, somehow block them out, because I have been speaking with someone. I'm like, you know, we have to hear what the Spirit is saying. I'm trying to instruct you as to what's, you know, what's going on. And if we have a blind eye to see only what's in front of us and what the media, because like I said, it's like we're puppets. You know, they're only going to tell you what they want to tell you, and you're not even sure if it's true. They're not even sure if it's true. And it's just a whole bunch of things that's being said. And I always just say we have to guard our eyes and we have to guard our ears in order to guard our peace. However, when you're dealing with multiple people as an individual, you can do it. However, when you're dealing with multiple people and they're not sure how to do that, you're in a warfare. So I just want to say, I guess in this season we have to hear from God and we have to in tune, because a lot, if not anxiety and fear, and our focus shifts into places that it should not shift to, because we take our eyes off of Jesus, we start paying attention to our distractions that are around us. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Tammy, do you want to say anything on it?
Well, I was just going to say that, yes, it's very, very important that we be mindful about things we do. Fortunately, a lot of my elderly people passed when I was young, because I was kind of, because my grandmother had 14 children, excuse me, with seven of them living, I was kind of down at the bottom of the totem pole far as the ages of the children. I actually have cousins that's in their 60s, so, and beyond, and these are first cousins, so unfortunately, a lot of my elderly people passed. My mother passed, my grandmother passed, you know, and so forth. So I don't have the responsibility of, you know, going to visit an elderly person. But I encourage people. It rubs me the wrong way when I see somebody that mistreats their grandmother. Don't visit their grandmother. Don't visit their mother, and so forth.
Exactly.
While they have them in the nursing home. So it kind of rubs me the wrong way. So I'm a little different when it comes down to that. But yeah, it's so important that we go see them. But it's also very important that we keep them safe in the midst of this pandemic that we're going through, and it's real. You know, you got people that have walk around with corona and don't know they have corona, and it's not affecting them. And they told us in the beginning that people who have compromised immune systems or have underlying health problems have problems. So if you don't know that you're walking around with this, it's your responsibility to act like you are, to the point where you're keeping your people safe. You know, you don't want to go in there and be kissing all on them, and, you know, then they get sick and it just takes them out in no time. So it's so important that you go visit them, but you have to visit them responsibly, regardless if you have symptoms, regardless if you have this feeling or what have you. You have to go in there with the mindset that I could be a carrier of it, and just being responsible. And I like the fact that they are putting these things into place to keep their residents safe by putting up the glass and so forth. It's almost, you know, it made me think about jail when I heard about it, you know, when I was, you know, okay, we're talking through the phone, but these things are necessary in order to keep these people safe and keep them with us longer, you know.
That's right. Well, that's right. That's right. And the crazy thing is, too, and I want to just share this, like you were saying, you know, what came to mind when you were talking was not just the person passing away, but also the toll it's going to take on that person that gave it to them, you know. They have to live with that, you know. So let's just be responsible. Now, one of the announcements I want to make is listen, ladies, we ordered our Sisters United coffee mugs, okay? And because of Corona, they're having difficulties delivering my mugs. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I'm not upset. But we're going to believe God that in the next 2 days, I'm just going to speak this in Jesus' name, that they deliver our mugs. Amen. You know, because, you know, the post office, they're dealing with delays on different shipments, okay? And so I was on the phone yesterday, day before yesterday, trying to figure out what's going on. So they explained to me what's happening. And so we are believing God, hopefully today or tomorrow, that the mugs will be in. But they have already been sent. We, you know, I'm just waiting on them to drop them in my office. And we are on and pop locking. How about that?
Okay.
Now, I also want the ladies, some of you that have, that do Facebook Lives and you may want to go live on the Sisters United page, please use the Sisters United frame. All you do is click on that little one, they got a star on it with a little, it's called the fix. You click on that. And when you click on it, it'll pull up the frames. And you can go through those frames, and it's two Sisters United frames in there you can use. I'm talking to the ladies of Sisters United.
I don't see a one. A one on the go live? You mean before you actually go live?
No, it's on there right now. So when you live, you look down at the bottom next to the camera, you'll see a little star with the little dots around it. Do you see it?
No.
It's at the bottom of the screen, down there where comments and all of that is.
Okay, I see emoji gift sticker on mine. I don't see a
Okay.
Maybe options.
Okay.
No.
I see it. It depends on the no, I don't. Take that back. I don't. I just told a story.
You just told a story.
I don't see it. I'm not gonna go live, but I was looking to see if I see it. You know, Facebook has changed their live platform. So
it may
look different to somebody else.
Okay. Well, that's where it is. It's in frames. It's in frames. It's in wherever they have the frames listed, you can go in the frames, and it's in there. So however it's listed on your phone for the frames, it's in there. Okay. Now, so that was another
Okay. Nap.
And you can if you go live and you want to go live at Sisters United, boom, there it is. Okay. Now, let's get into these topics because my husband is a very interesting young man, and he posted something I said I was going to share as a topic. But before I do that, I want to start off with Ms. Roberson. What do you got for us today?
Okay. My topic today is speak to the ladies. I've seen a couple of memes on Facebook and heard a conversation on the way to the trash can, and you know, ladies, we just have to do better. So
yeah,
my topic message today to the women is you own yourself and you deserve much better than breath and friction.
Wait,
okay.
Say it again.
I said, ladies, you own yourself and you deserve much more than breath and britches, pants. Okay? Breath meaning a warm person next to you breathing on your neck, and breeches or pants represent the man. You know, it,
wow.
It should be some, yeah. Exactly. I mean, I was on the way to the trash can, to the dumpster putting trash in the can, and there was a young lady with her phone with the volume on, and she was having a conversation with another young lady, and it went something like, girl, you know, I don't know, or whatever, he's sitting up chipping or whatever, but he can be over there if he wants to, as long as he closes his eyes here. You know,
oh.
We have to stop settling for mess like that. You know,
oh.
It's a song, a R&B song that comes on that drives me crazy. I think it's called The Weeknd. She say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he can be over there, but Thursday, Friday, something about I just want him on the weekend or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
I heard that.
You know, come on, when that song comes on, it makes me crazy every time. I can't turn my radio fast enough because, I mean, now, unless that's just what you really want or whatever, I think a lot of young ladies and women, you know, just sit up and put themselves in their mindset because maybe it is something that they're more comfortable with. Maybe it's some, you know, they want this person, but that's all of them that they feel like that they can get or that they deserve. You know, a person's only going to do what you allow them to do. So I just encourage, I strongly encourage ladies to get you some you time. I'm telling you, I did not date or anything for 7 years, some people say long years, but it wasn't long years to me. I mean, it wasn't, you know, and I was okay with that. You know, I had other things going on or whatever. You have to have some you time. If you don't make a very good company for you, then you're probably not going to make company for somebody else. You know,
that's true.
You need a time period where, you know, where you just, where, you know, as you alone with you and God, you just to figure you out instead of keep introducing people, you know, in your life. You know, like Soulshree says, I want to be the one, not number two. I have to be the one.
The one, that's
you
right.
And, right, the one. And you should reduce yourself to accepting seconds or whatever somebody allows you to have. Now, if that's what you want, then that ball is in your court. You know, whatever, you're doing what it is that you want. So, you know, We are worthy. I mean, we have so much power. You know, we really do as ladies, as women. We have so much power, and you cannot relinquish your power like that.
That's
so
true. That's true.
It's foolishness.
You know, you're talking on a good subject because I know you remember that old school song where well, it was a saying, and then it was a song where this lady was saying, you know that car he drives? I bought that.
I bought it.
You know,
you
crazy. I mean, crazier than a road, listen. Then
you
this other this saying that they had back then. Wait a minute, I think you said it. A half a man is better than no man at all or something. It was some kind of throwaway, some kind of
that is throwaway.
And I was like, what is happening? When I heard this song, I was like, girl, you crazy. The car he drives, you know, the house I paid a bit. I was like, what is happening here? You know, it was kind of like promoting, like you say, sharing. I'm going to share.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I'm not good at sharing. Not in that. I'm not good at that. I'm like, no. And it's crazy because we will allow a man to do us like that. But I promise you, he won't allow you to do him like that.
Don't even let him think. Don't even let him think that, I mean, you even have eyes for somebody else. You look at somebody too long in a store or you know, something like this. It's a he big man. I mean, like, really, it's a whole big old issue or whatever. But, you know, we really just have to realize our worth. And those songs from then or whatever, it just seems like that they manifested and you know, like, just made it okay. Because I remember as a younger girl hearing this song, and with the car that he bought, car he's driving, I bought. And I remember thinking to myself, well, what did he do for you? You know, whatever. I really did. You know, what was he doing? You know, that's crazy to me. Women will sit up and go to work, leave this man that they're not married to at home in their bed,
wow,
flushing their toilet, running up the water bill, using the toilet paper, allowing them to come get her from work, and he driving
wow
other women around in the car. And not only that, he can't even get there on time. So what is the real deal? I let you use my car for you to sit up and there ain't no gas in it. You know, what is the real deal? I don't want to drive your car, and you're not going to drive mine. You know,
exactly.
That's just the bottom line. You know?
And then what? You know what I think about? And Rita, or Tammy, y'all could jump in anytime. But you know what I think about is, what part of your self-esteem saying, I will allow this, or this is as good as it gets for me, or I want him so bad that I'm willing to share him? What part of the game is that? You know, to where you will just put yourself in that type of situation. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Coming up in the country, I saw a lot of things as a child. I saw the woman that the man was cheating with, she'd be at the same party or she'd be at the same family reunion. And then I see the adults over there making faces, you know what I'm saying? Because they knew that was his side piece, you know what I'm saying? And it was crazy. But it was like, and then he got a child over there with her, and then he got a whole family over here with the other one. It was crazy. And it's like people just allowed that type of thing to go on, and then they wanted to talk about the ratio of women to men, and some people be, I'm like, wait a minute, I don't care what the ratio is. You understand?
Okay.
Because there's some diseases that got some ratios on it. You understand me?
Yeah.
That won't fit. You understand? So, I mean, just what part of your self-esteem is going to really, really allow this thing to be going down like this? You got people that sharing husbands, you know, that open marriage and married, got two women and sharing, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff.
My thing with that is, what did you get married for? Like, I don't understand the whole open marriage thing or whatever. If you want to be single and you want to explore, just don't get married. Don't play with me marrying me for you to sit up and have some foolery. Now, I ain't a killer, but don't push me. You know,
I know that's right.
I'm saved
and love the Lord. I ain't doing it no way. I'm just telling
exactly
you. I'm saved, love the Lord. But at the same time, we're talking about real issues. And if you're on this live and you want to make a comment about these women sharing men and all this kind of stuff, and we're gonna say,
Give your
opinion. Go ahead, Rita. We
listening. I just want to say, I think it comes from an insecurity issue because I watch Paternity Court with Judge Lauren Lakes a lot, and it's a lot of young women that have this. I guess when you don't do it, you don't really think it actually exists in the world. And I was actually in awe of some of the things that some of the young women settle for or how many men they sharing at one time. And I'd be wondering, I'm like, okay, like where does this come from? And my thing is, I always tell young women, you have to have enough respect for yourself, because if you don't respect yourself, don't expect nobody else to respect you. It only comes to what you allow. And
exactly.
I think a lot of it become from upbringing issues, because when they started talking and Lauren Lakes tried to get to the bottom of the situation, she's like, okay, wait a minute, what happened? Why are you here? And sometimes life circumstances causes people or young women to go down that road where they maybe didn't have a father in their life, they were abandoned as a child, and quote unquote they're looking for love, but they looking for it in all the wrong places, and they settle for a situation, they settle for somebody that, oh, say I love you, or make them, or tell them what they want to tell them for that moment, and then they continue to fall for the same okie doke, and you know, it's just like, and I think it has to become helping the young women know that they are enough. They don't have to settle for less, you know. And I hear that saying, like that's you all was saying earlier. I'm like, that it just creeps me when they say any man is better than no man. My thing is, where's your worth? Is that what you want? And most women know that's not what they want, but they'll settle for that, and they'll settle for a lot of chaos because they feel like I want somebody on my side. And I'm like, you don't have to be validated from somebody else. We have to, as women, we have to validate ourselves, and we have to know what our worth is, because if you don't know, don't expect nobody else to know.
Exactly.
And so So I just think it comes from a place of insecurity, and not just, like I said, insecurity, but upbringing issues where the home was broken. Most families deal with some type of dysfunction, but somehow there was some dysfunction that came along where healing was never taking place. And so, they're like broken children become broken adults because they never dealt with their problems. They never dealt with the issues, and they became a product of their environment. And so, and it just goes from one, and that's when generational curses take place, because it goes from one generation to the next. That person have children, and because they never was whole, they can't pour into their children. And until somebody stop it, it goes from one generation to the next. So, yeah, that's kind of how I see it.
People determine your wealth. People determine your worth by what you allow. That's another thing too, because you can get caught up in stuff. I'll never forget, it was years ago, I met this guy at a party. And so when I, gave the guy my number, whatever, we talked, and he commenced to telling me, now, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but he commenced to telling me how he met his child's mother while he was with his girlfriend, okay? And the girlfriend actually went and gave this other woman that he was interested in his phone number. She went and gave the number. And at one point, they lived in a house, one big happy family. I'm just trying to figure out what part of that was supposed to make me interested, you know? But I'm like, okay, he's kind of comical. He's really a comedian, you know, whatever. So I talked to him, you know, a few times or whatever, but this is where we fell out. All this mess that he used to dealing with, I don't know what it was or whatever, but we kind of had a argument, and he told me that I was nothing.
Wow.
That was hilarious to me, because you wouldn't know worth, you wouldn't know sustenance, you wouldn't know fullness if it slapped you in your face. You were with one number, and she gave somebody else a phone number, so why do you, how can you determine a figure, what anything is anyway, because you deal with nothing. So, of course, you wouldn't recognize greatness if it slapped you in your face. So, anyway, that was our last conversation, but, you know, you have to set those bars.
Yeah, you do. I like that. Miss Lily, what you think about it?
I am just sitting here listening to y'all ladies, and I'm like, wow. You said something. You said, crazier than a road lizard. I was on here, over here on the floor. I was like, crazy as a road lizard? That's a good one. But I think it just really depends on the person. I don't think anybody can set your boundaries for you. My thing is, if you're doing it because you feel like you're less than and you don't deserve better, then that's a problem. But if you are, you know, confident in it and you feel like that's okay, not for me personally, that's not my thing. But I always try to look at it from all perspectives whenever I look at a particular situation. So I just think if that's what you want to do, because you want him to go out and do his thing, because you don't want to be confined by boundaries, because you want to go out and do this, or if you want to get in to miss anything or anything like that, I think that's just really just a woman's personal outlook on things. I don't believe in the saying, I'd rather have a piece of man than no man at all, because my thing is I don't want a piece of man. Me personally,
exactly.
I don't want to share no man. I'm not going to do that, and that's not my thing. I never have been. I'm not much on sharing my toys, my own, even as a little kid. That's my doll. I don't want you to touch that doll. So, but that's just me personally. No, I cannot sit in the room, and knowing that that woman across the room is your woman, it just does not sit well with my spirit. So I don't even put myself in those kind of predicaments, because I don't like chaos. I don't like drama. So I'm not going to put myself in that position. And I get really upset when somebody puts me in that position and puts me in that situation where I feel like, you know, make me feel some kind of way. So I'd much rather be on my own than deal with all that. And I've always been that type of person. If that means that I gotta be by myself, that means I gotta be by myself. Because really, honestly, I'm never by myself as long as I got God with me. So I've never felt like I didn't deserve more, you know.
God bless you.
So like I said, if a person feels like they're still whole in this, then they can hold their head up high and tell somebody that this is what I do. Yeah, that's fine. Now, if you holding your head down, telling somebody, yes, he got another woman, then that's a problem. That's you allowing him to break you down and make you feel less than.
That's right. I like that. I like that. You know, and I agree with you. I don't like to, listen. That sharing stuff. I don't know why it's so easy for some people to do it. And then I'm gonna say it like this. And let's talk about it on a wider scale. People in this day and time, is just about anything goes. You know, anything goes. Sharing your man, sharing this, and we, oh Lord, this is it. There's some folk, like I say, they just volunteer for this type of lifestyle. They got a whole groups and communities built off of this type of thing, and it's crazy. But if you look at it from culture to culture, or with Black women or the Black community, or it from all types of angles, people see it all different types of ways. You see what I'm saying? So, like I say, personally for me, it's not going down like that. I don't want to. I can't. I mean, and I guess like Rita say, you know, being broken, you know, some people do enter into this type of thing from being broken or not wanting to commit, not wanting to be alone, just accepting things that just should, you know, you just really shouldn't accept, you know, so. I'm going to leave that topic alone. Girl, you started something right there. Remember to go and post these topics in the Sisters United group, okay? Now, Keisha, it's funny you brought – go ahead.
I actually want to say something else as well. Think it's a fair thing to include that person in what you want to do. Don't sit around and lie to that lady and tell her – that she's the only one, and knowing she's not the only one. It's not fair for you to be the only one making that choice, or even with a woman's case. That's not fair to allow you to be the person that makes that only choice in that situation, because that's where a lot of chaos comes about. You know, if that's what you want to do and that's what you're about, be honest with that person and allow that person to make that choice if I'm going to be with you or not be with you.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm glad you... And that's why I say I love this show, because it hits every every aspect of it, because you also have people that are in that position out of what we could say duress or, good morning, Terry. They are in that position because of feeling like they have to be in it. They might be in an abusive relationship. They might be in, you never know what's happening. So I just, you know, I love these topics. I want to tell Keisha, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Girl, you were right on it today, because the topic I was gonna talk about is, be careful with how much you tolerate. You are teaching them how to treat you, and I think this comes into play as well when you're dealing with one another. When you tolerate a lot from, and I'm talking about a woman that just, because I watch reality TV. People think I shouldn't, but I do. And I see how women go back to a man that cheat on them over and over again. And then he want to introduce you to the woman that he cheating with, you know, and then you got to deal with, you try to hold on to your man, and you know he over here cheating with her. You know, it's just a whole bunch of stuff that people allow themselves to deal with and tolerate, and you got to know. You have to know that if you keep saying, letting them come back, this is where I'm going to this topic. If you keep allowing a person to come back after they repeatedly do you in, you're teaching them how to treat you. You are letting them know that your word isn't worth anything, or how you feel about yourself. You'll put them before yourself. And it's a very, very crazy game to be playing with your happiness and all that. Hold on. I think did we drop a call? Tammy, is that you? Did we drop you?
Yes, ma'am. I got lost.
Okay. So we're going into, we're still on the same topic, but going into how people treat you. You set the tone for how people treat you. That's why I love Keisha Robinson. Let me tell you something, Keisha. When I get off this show, boy, I be chewing James' ear up. He be like, oh, my God, what Keisha say today? I say, Lord, Keisha done got on my nerves today. Let me tell you what this girl done said. He say, because he know I love controversy. You know, I love to hear different opinions on different things, because sometimes we think the way we think is right, you know, and sometimes it's just a conversation that we can have to help somebody sift through, like Rita talked about that brokenness, so that people could be able to tell the difference between you reacting out of brokenness and you thinking that this is, oh, I just feel this way. But what if you find out the way you feel is from a broken place? You see what I'm saying? Or the habits or behaviors you have are not from a healthy place. They're from a broken place. And that's why I love the topics we have on this show, because I'm going to tell you something, Keisha. I get off of here and I'll be like, let me go back to my notes and see what Keisha said. And then Tammy get on there and she rips into it. Then I look at what Tammy said. You see what I'm saying? Because as black women, as women, period, we need to be able to help each other heal. And I'm finding in this day and time, we're a bit too busy biting each other head off to help each other get to where we need to be. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not talking about you like we had that topic. I'm not talking about you coming into my house sleeping with my husband. You know, then we got a problem. We got a serious problem. You know, I can't, you know, I'm going to have to direct you to your own pastor without them, you know. But I believe that, y'all, our packages arrived. Hallelujah. I believe that we, with this show, can help people to really hear themselves and really know what place our behaviors are coming out of. Because I don't care how old we get, we can always learn something. Amen.
I have someone on my live asking for the number to call in, so you may get 3, a caller 4, 7, in a few minutes.
Okay, you already got. Okay, I got you. Just tell them to press 1 so we'll know that they're on the line. Rita, do you want to say anything about what I just said by you teaching when you allow repetitive, unhealthy things, you're teaching a person how to treat you. Go ahead.
Yes, I just kind of go by the quote, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And basically, and I have been speaking with someone concerning the situation. I'm like, if you continue to, I even said, it's funny that you said, because I just thought maybe I was a little crazy, but I realized I'm not. When I told them, I say you continue to allow, when you continue to allow something, you tell a person how to treat you. And I say nobody just treats you a certain way just because they want to treat you. They doing it because of what you have done or what you allow. And so I think once you in a situation like that, you have to just make up your mind, hey, okay, do I want this? And I just...
Yeah.
You, both parties, have to make up their mind, because otherwise you just, it's like you're playing Russian roulette. It's like, it's no point if only one person fighting for a relationship. And I think both parties has to fight for it. And like I said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And people will just treat you accordingly to the way you allow them to treat you. And if you continue to do it, especially from a woman perspective, if you'll continue to allow a man to keep coming in, doing, not doing nothing, just coming in for the cookies or whatever, and it's because you allow it. You allow it. And I always tell people, look, I've been cut from a different cloth. So I'm not going to settle for something like that when you deserve better. And I think a lot of women just don't feel like they deserve better. And I'm like, I think someone said earlier that we are the prize. We have the power.
Yeah.
And if we put forth the power that we have, you know, it could stop a lot of things. But a lot of times when you have some women, you know, be trifling, you can't keep the knowledge of having the power to go over another woman because you have some that's trifling. They don't care. You know, if you don't give it, they say, well, one woman won't do, the next one will do. And it's just like, okay, this is crazy. But, and I definitely agree to the fact that people will treat you only what you allow them, how you allow them to treat you. You're training them on what you will allow. And I had said that in a meeting that I was at, and there was a domestic violence counselor there. She's like, you can't train people. You only can train animals. I'm like, wait, what? She's like, it's not. I forgot what word she said. She's like, but you cannot train people. Because that was my very response as to what, because they was talking about domestic violence in all various forms. And I was like, well, you basically train a person on, you actually train them how to treat you. She's like, we can't train people. We only can train animals and so forth or whatever. But I'm like, no, in my perspective, I was still in my mind like, yes, you can. Because if you continue to go back, they're going to continue to treat you the way you allow them to treat you. So, yeah, that's kind of how I see it.
You're so right. You're so right, because I remember, and I do, a lot of people don't like to do what I do. I like to reflect a lot on my past and where I am today to make sure I'm not falling back into who I used to be. You see what I'm saying? And I came up in a household where you didn't have an opinion, you see what I'm saying, and your parents didn't listen to you. They was hardcore church people. If you didn't pay no bills, you didn't have no problem. It was really closed off, you see what I'm saying, from emotions and stuff like that. Now, I really had a wonderful understanding of the Lord, amen. but when it came to knowing my worth, I didn't know it. Okay? See, we never be honest about that, but I didn't know it. Like, Some people had parents that let them know you are beautiful. You could be whatever you want to be. My mama said that, but I'm talking about my worth as a woman. You get what I'm saying? And she was too busy raising 8 children, which was okay. You get what I'm saying? And later on, God sent women into my life that began to tell me my worth, but it wasn't before I went through some stuff, y'all. And went through some dealing with this man. Like I told you about that husband the other day, that was just, you know, somebody told him he was cute. He ended up butt naked with him, you know. So I had to, like they say, the school of hard knocks, okay? I had to go on the rough side of the mountain and learn my worth and become strong that way. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't somebody sat down and say, do you know your worth? No, it was me saying, I'm not dealing with that no more. I'm worth more. I had to, you go say, experience it. And a lot of the things that I was dealing with and putting up with I had to stand up one day and say, I'm sick and tired of this. You know, I'm sick and tired of this. I have a right to have happiness and have stability and have a good man and I have the right. I had to begin to say that to myself in the mirror every day. I had to begin to stand up for myself. You know, some people say, oh, I stand up for myself. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I had to stand up for my dignity, for my integrity, for my happiness, for the standard of that I wanted for my life. You get what I'm saying? And some of us don't. We think that we deserve what somebody is this mess somebody's handing us. We think we deserve it. Somewhere in us, we think that we've done something to earn this that's coming at us. Even when we talk about, like you were talking about domestic violence and all, it's some part of us that thinks that maybe we do deserve it, especially when you're dealing with somebody manipulative and they're saying that type of thing to you. You know, you'll build up this thing within you to say, okay, maybe I deserve this. You see what I'm saying? Maybe this off. Because I had somebody tell me, I had a child at 17, and I had my next child 4 years later, but still, I had somebody say that she gonna have a house full of babies. I had people telling me that I wasn't gonna have or do or I was gonna be a burden and I was gonna be. It was never some positive things that were said towards me. So it took God, my relationship with God, to pull me up out of that ditch I was in, but I didn't know I was in one until I got sick and tired and got in my word and started getting a relationship with God and started asking God to help me, and I got tired of crying. You know what I'm saying? So it's a journey for some people to come out of that place of thinking that they deserve what they are accepting into their lives. You see what I'm saying? Some people may not have to go through that. But I was one of those that had to be built up, had to use outside sources besides parents to build up a part of me that was necessary in order for me to stop some unhealthy habits. Okay, I'm done. Hello?
I love it. My output on how people treat you is you have to set the standard from the very beginning. Once the standard is set, then it's set. If you allow certain things to go on, and then you try to set the standard later on, then it's harder to deal with it because by then feelings have gotten involved. You're loving that man. That man is loving you and all that kind of stuff. And he's, you know, sometimes he may have this thing that, oh, well, you just changing. You changing. This is not how it was in the beginning. You know, I didn't fall in love with that woman. You're changing. So you have to say in the beginning, it's not fair to you, it's not fair to them, it's not fair to the relationship, it's not fair for what the relationship is going to produce, speaking on kids, for you not to be honest and open. And my thing is, if that person really wants you, then they'll either make that change or they'll walk away. And if they walk away, maybe that wasn't a person for you, you know, as long as your standards are within reason. You know, sometimes we can have standards and deal breakers that's not within reason, you know. You know what you want to deal with. Because my standard far as type of person I was looking for was different when I was younger versus as I got older. When I was younger, before I had kids and so forth, my thing is I didn't want no man with kids. That was just my biggest thing. My thing was I didn't want to deal with somebody else's children. I want, when me and him have that child, it to be our child and not no other outside thing, because it makes the relationship harder. Relationships harder in the first place. So that was what my standard was. As I got older, my standard changed. So as long as your standards are within reason, you know, sometimes we can be a little far-fetched with certain things and be asking for superficial things that really don't matter and might be a little unrealistic, you know. I want a tall man, I want a short man with big hands, or I want a tall man with little tiny hands, you know. I mean, just, you know, just off the wall, you know, expectations and standards of what I'm expecting in a relationship. You know, I want my man to come in the room at all times and bow down as soon as he get into the room. I mean, is that something that you really want? You know, so.
Yeah, I agree. I like the way you said that. When your desires are different. Your desires are different from when you were younger and, you know, to now. Okay, who else want to say something on this topic? So we can get to Tammy's topic.
Okay. We just have to get into the mindset of knowing that we deserve. And, you know, I say it all the time, but I believe it was Rita that said it too. I mean, we are the prizes. I mean, it's just, you know, it's established that way. At the very beginning, it was Adam. Eve was his prize. Eve was his gift, his helpmate, his person, whatever. So, I mean, it's not a, you know, it's not a crazy thing or, oh, you know, excuse me, you know, some kind of weird thing or whatever. We are actually the prize. You guys are there to protect us, to uplift us or whatever as we help you meet, you know, whatever your obligations and, you know, goals are, you know, whatever, you know, when it involves marriage, you know what I'm saying? It's a partnership. So,
Well, I'm so I'm loving this topic today. This topic was so good, it took up almost half of the show. How about that? We definitely want everybody that's listening to make sure that if you have any questions for any of the hosts, we are all on Facebook, okay? That's Tammy Lilly, Keisha Roberson, Rita Nelson, and I got to practice saying Rita's whole name, amen, and Quincy Daniel. You can, listen, we are open to talk to you because we do understand the responsibility of being talk show hosts. There will be some people that really, really want to need to vent. But I want you to understand this. When you send us a message, I'm going to speak for myself. I'm not a pity party person. I'm more of a let's get to the root and let's get it fixed. Are you ready to do the work? That's the type of person I am. And my husband will tell you I'm not much for, like, a whole banter of conversation. No, I'm not. Because I feel like if you're in a pity party about something, when you finish that pity party, the problem's going to still be there. So do you want to get to the root of it? Then let's get to the root of it, and then let's be ready to do the work. Okay? So if you are dealing with loving yourself, you're dealing, and let me tell you the evidence. We just talked about the evidence of that there may be some immaturity or maybe some low self-esteem or low self-worth. If any of the things that we talked about today, you find yourself in any of those positions and you're ready to come out of that pattern, any one of us will be willing to talk to you and work with you to bring you through and give you positive affirmations, but not for a pity party, y'all. We not, you know, because I get some people in my inbox, baby, they wants to have like a whole three-page novel on what everybody else has done to them. And I'm here to tell you, I will give you a one-liner. Give your life to Jesus. I will, in the name of Jesus. But we want to be here, and we want to be a support to you as you start your journey to become a better you. Amen. Let's see. Tammy, what you got for us?
You know, I was flipping through this Facebook group, Sisters United, and I seen this picture. It was the picture with a black mother with her black child and a white mother with her white child.
Yeah.
And they was posing, and they had their leg up in the air. And one side, the black mother was supposed to be labeled as being carefree and considered hope and mentality, bad parenting and being classless, and everything we do is sexualized, including even with the child. And then it was nothing said about the white lady with her white child that was doing the same thing. And my thing is, when I seen them together, it made me think that, okay, if I would have actually seen this picture with just the black lady by herself, I think I would have had that same mentality. They're like, oh, why is she doing that with her kid and so forth? And then I see the white lady. And so when I seen them together, it put things in perspective that so often we see things that our community does, and then our counterparts do the same thing or do something similar to it, and then we take a different perspective when the other side is doing. The difference between the two is what they're wearing. But the same act is being done on both ends. So why is it that we do that to our own people? And then when somebody else do it, it was like, oh, she's, you know, little girl must be a dancer, and the mother was a dancer, and so they're doing this together because they both was dancers. And so this is bonding and so forth. Why do we do that? You know, why do we look at our people doing something, and then when our counterparts do the same thing, it's accepting. And I'm guilty of that too. Because had I just seen the one picture with the black lady, I probably would have said the same thing. And I think we're really going to have to start changing our mindset of how we look at one another when we do things, because we're so hard and we're so judgmental on one another. And then when the other side does something, we're not as judgmental. We see it in a different limelight. I think that's something that we really need to work on. And how do we work on that? How do we fix that?
Yeah. And, you know, I when I saw that post, I shared that post because it is, it's true. We judge each other so harshly. We really, really do. And I think that if we, kind of like what we're doing right now, Tammy, you know, coming together and finding the beauty in each other. You know, I think that the beauty of our culture is always being snatched from us, you know, and I'm going to tell you something. Black women, we have big hips. We are voluptuous, okay? You know, and a lot of people can't handle our shape, but it's no in our own race, okay? But we have to turn that around. You know, we, like I said earlier about doing the work, we have to turn that around. We have to change the view of ourselves. We have to, if we can start embracing us, you know, like that young girl, that little girl and her mother, next to that picture, some of the comments I saw was, it's what she's wearing, you know, and then you got yoga on the other latest picture, but you know, it's what we do. We have a habit. I was listening to our brother show, I'll call it our JD's Man Cave, and they are so harsh on women who are showing flesh. I'm gonna just tell you the truth. Now he can call in and he can get the going like he want to, but men in our culture, for real, are so hard on black women. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Yeah. And some of the comments that men make, and I don't think with us, we can work past because we wear what we're going to wear, you know. But men, some of our kings, Jesus, be a fence all around me every day. Some of the stuff that comes out of our men's mouth about our figure, about our the way we walk and the way we talk and our mannerisms, all of that is a part of it. You see what I'm saying? We have black men that lead, oh, I'm not going to be with a black woman. Look how she dressed. Look how she talked. Look how she... We were trained, let's go back to that trained reader. We were trained to dislike ourselves. You know, we were trained not to like each other. We were trained to find something negative about each other. We were trained not to look at the picture, because I'm going to tell you, we do it every day. We'll be driving through the neighborhood. We could see a white person wearing Daisy Duke. Let's go here. They're wearing Daisy Duke. Nobody say a word. Shorts all the way up. Never say a word. In the grocery store, all of that. Never say a word. Black woman in the grocery store with all of her hip dips and everything with some Daisy Duke song. Boom. There we go. We going in.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, you know, it's not really the clothing. It's what's under the clothing. That's just like, okay, you see a woman, well, a black woman with a sundress on, and she's walking and her booty clapping. And she's not even trying to make a booty clap. But you get that same white woman with that dress on and her booty not clapping and it's all right. But she's not, that black woman's not trying to make her booty clap. She just got a round behind. She just got moon shaped butt. And so it's clapping all the way down the street. And it was, oh, girl, look at her. Oh, that's just nasty. I bet her butt stank. Remember they used to say stuff like that? Your booty clap? Oh, her butt stank.
Look. Let me chime in. Look, I think we as women, depending on our body set, we have to know what enhances us and what does not. I mean, because like you said, we can speak people with the different outfits. Me personally, I know, okay, there are some things. We have to know what enhances our looks, per se. As like I said, me personally, I have to know what fits me, what enhances me, and what doesn't. So there are some things that me as a plus size or whatever, there are some things that I won't wear because it will make me look a certain way. That, I mean, if you really want to think about it and you're looking at your characteristics, your personality, what am I telling people when I go out in public, what I have on? Or, you know, some people don't care. They like, I'm going to wear whatever. But for me personally, I feel like, okay, what does this look like? Is it too tight? Is it too this, too revealing? Is it too just showing? Because, like, at the end of the day, that's going back to training people. But when people look at me, what image are they getting from? What am I telling people when they look at me to see what I have on? I think our attire makes a big difference in what type of respect that you'll get from another person. If you walking in there, if your person walking inside and they have on the booty clapping shorts or whatever the case is, and somebody approach them in a manner and say, call them a thot or a H-O-E-R-B, they'll get upset because they're looking like, well, why you consider? But what you're revealing, it's like what you have on is requesting attention. And when you get that type of attention, you get upset because you feel like, what you calling me that for? I'm like, okay, well, that's the type of, I mean, I don't know. The attire, I think, reveals a lot, because even in that picture that you guys are speaking about, I read some of the comments, and I personally believe that it's a big difference in the attire that they have on. The Caucasian woman and daughter, they're fully covered, you know, so it's not like bringing any sexual type attention is for, I mean, considering they already look like they're dancers or whatever, but they're fully covered versus the woman, the African American, they have on shorts that's already kind of very revealing. And so, and then with the particular pose that it has, it's like, and as a black culture, women, our culture has already ripped the, how I should put it, it's like, our image has already been ripped, as far as, because you have the twerking going on, and that's what one of the guys was saying in the comment. He was stating that how, as a culture, a pop culture, and how our image as black women has already been ripped. So anytime you see a woman that has on shorts that's really short or whatever, they consider you a thot, or they consider you a B, or they consider whatever it is that they want to consider you as. And so the image of our culture has already been ripped. So we already have to be careful how we present ourselves, because automatically the negativity going outweigh the positive. So when you see that image, first thing people think like, oh my gosh, why in the world would she do that? Of course, the judgmental gonna supersede, but like I said, I think like we just have to, even like you guys were saying, like in stores when you see two different people, because black, we luxurious, we are, and we have to, I guess, like I said, be careful as to how we present ourselves as women, and know what enhances our looks and what doesn't. It's just kind of how I see it.
You know, I think what, they probably would say something regardless if she had on long shorts,
so,
or she had the booty cutty shorts. If she had on some stretch pants just like that, guess what? Her behind would have been just as big. Her thighs would have been just as big. So is it really the clothes, or is it her body?
Right.
I think all of it has something to do with it. I think, and to be honest with you, oh, my goodness. I think that it's a black thing. I don't care. I mean, we have to be, let's be honest. Let's be honest. You had Daisy Duke. I mean, this lady had these, and when I say they were short, the pockets were sticking out the back, you know. But you put the same height, black lady, same height, you know, she's not going to be built the same. She's going to have some curves. Listen, when I was coming up, my mama made me sensitive about a lot of things. She made me sensitive about my arms, you know, she made me sensitive about my behind, you know, because I'm built like a baby, listen, it's curves everywhere, you know. And so she wanted to make sure my shirt was long enough to cover my behind. You see what I'm saying? She was super religious, so we didn't wear pants. But what I'm saying is, she made me sensitive to things that may not have been sensitive to other people. The other people really didn't pay attention to. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
For example,
right,
if I was raised in a household where nobody really focused on what you had on, they focused on your education, they focused on other stuff, right? But what you wore wasn't a big deal, right? So when I become an adult, me walking outside in a pair of Daisy Duke shorts wouldn't bother me. But the house across the street, the mama probably had, you know, probably considered a person who wore Daisy Duke a hoe. You get what I'm saying? okay, let's look at, I'm gonna go old school. Old school church, they didn't like for women to wear red because they said red was associated with prostitutes. All this kind of can on. You know, oh, your nails long. Oh, you got on hooker heels. Oh, the heels too high. You know, just ridiculous stuff. You know, but hookers and prostitutes was wearing the shoes. And I had to tell my mom, I said, you know, it ain't the heels that made the hooker, right? You understand it, right? You know, I'm just being real. We have to understand, and I think that we all have, in some areas, have been made sensitive, and some of us are not sensitive to certain things. But as a culture, we got up bigger things to be dealing with than worried about what somebody got on. Because you could be talking to a doctor, and she got Daisy Dukes on. You could be talking. You get what I'm saying? Now, if you're going in to get a job, I wouldn't say go wear them Daisy Dukes up in there trying to get that job. It ain't, and then get okay. mad. Cause shit. I'm saying that we have been made sensitive to a lot of different things. You know, I tell my husband, he wants me to wear jeans a lot. I don't really wear jeans a lot. I was raised in dresses. So I went and bought me some jeans because my husband was raised in a household where people were sensitive about jeans. You get what I'm saying? He wants, you know, I don't want my behind hanging out. He wants my behind hanging. That's for him. You get what I'm saying? So my point is we set a standard for ourselves. We can be sensitive, or we could choose to not be sensitive. We can be judgmental, or we could choose to not be judgmental. But either way it go, whatever's in you gonna come out. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't see some slim women wear a certain outfit, and then I didn't see some ladies that, you know, kind of plump like me, a little bit, wear the same outfit. And people just go in on them. And I'm looking at them like, hold on. What? So you mean to tell me she can't come out the house in that dress, but she could come out the house in that dress? It's the same length. You get what I'm saying? So what is it?
You know
it
what,
ain't the dress.
You know,
go ahead.
You know what's interesting? So I had a manager one time at a company that I worked for, right? And, you know, she was really interested. She always called me her daughter's name. Like, and so I'm black. She was Hispanic. But she always called me her daughter's name. So, and I'm like, you know, this lady, yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess I remind her of her daughter, but I know I came to work one time. And I had on a basic top. A lady that I worked with, we had on the exact same top, exact same brand, probably got it from the exact place, right? Now, anybody that knows me knows that I have these. I mean, I just have them, and, you know, I just think that all the women in my family just saved them all for me to get in line and just dump them all on me. She had an issue. I'm serious, okay? She had an issue with my shirt, and it wasn't tight. You know, it basically fit the same way, but the difference was, you know, I guess the only difference I saw was, you know, I had more meat than the other lady. And you know, me and her had it about that, you know, whatever. And I was like, well, just, you know, send me to HR. You know what I'm saying? And you come go to HR with me so that they can know what kind of conversation and foolishness that's going on. Well, of course, at that point, she left it alone because it was our personal, you know. I mean, I know how to, you know, dress in corporate America, so it wasn't really a big deal, but, I mean, to me, but I don't know. You know, this lady, she was just crazy. So a lot of the times it does have to do about your fulfillment, I'll just say, in a particular thing or whatever, and you have to know, you know, what area. Of course, you know, when I get dressed and go out or whatever, and, you know, I always say I break necks. I don't turn heads. Of course, I'm a big girl, you know. Now, I do wear the crop tops or whatever. I don't have any issue with my body at all. But if I just really want to snap necks, I'm less likely to put on a crop top with a skirt or whatever. I'm going to wear something that's cleavage-bearing, you know, whatever. You just have to know. I don't want to be bothered at all. I'll put on one of my dresses or whatever with a mock neck or whatever that's just really covered up. I mean, something just like all, you know, everybody said, you're not going to be able to, you know, you're not going to be able to get rid of it because there's no way of anything that I can think to put on that's not going to, you know, show breasts. I mean, I have them, you know, or whatever. If you have hips, you have, you know, or whatever. So I just think that, you know, like just we as a people, you know, ladies or whatever, the people, and people period or whatever should just, you know, think about those things or whatever when we're really, you know, judging. And people come from different places. And I say all the time, if you live in a house with everybody that walks backwards, when you take your first step out of that door, you're going to take that step backwards because that's what happens at your house, you know. With all of that considered, I think that this, you know, the platform that we have is real good because you get to see, you know, an array of, you know, thoughts and opinions about any given thing. So, yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Tammy Little Boy, we wore that out, didn't we, girl? I'm telling you. Baby, look. Listen, I am excited because this show, we're getting ready to go into video, okay? And I can't wait to get all the facial expressions on the video, okay? Baby, I'm telling y'all, I love this show so much. Because, first of all, it's time for us to see everybody's perspective. It's time for us to get out of our own little tunnel vision and start seeing everybody else's perspective. Some of us, we only want to see our perspective. And like I said earlier, we're looking through, some of us are looking through some rose-colored glasses, some rejection-colored glasses, some, you know what I'm saying? Some ladies wearing some things we wish we had enough nerve to wear, enough, what is it? I don't know the word.
Confidence.
There you go, baby. And we looking at that other person, and we really undercover jealous of the fact that they went ahead and put all that in some jeans. Come on. And we didn't have
okay.
Come on. Some of us mad because that lady could put her leg way up there and we could barely get it up on the step when we going in the house. Let's just be real about it.
Jealous, and you know, women are catty. We can be catty.
Let's be real. When we see that young lady walk out that house, we used to be young. We see a young lady walk out the house in that pencil skirt and she got it out. It's all in there. You understand me? And we looking. And we saying, look at this mess right here. Now, that's really you saying, man, I remember when I used to get in that skirt. So why don't we learn how to compliment folk? You get what I'm saying? Now, some folks do take it a tad bit too far. Let's just be real about it. You know, I'm not going to give some of this foolishness some excuses. But I just want us to look at it from that aspect, too. Sometimes we look at folk and be just straight up jealous. You just really mad because you don't have the confidence. Because I tell my daughters, after high school, they had gained a little weight. I had gained a little weight. You know what I told my daughter? She say, Mom, I don't know what. I say, wrap some fabric around that body of yours that God gave you, baby, and work it. That's what I told her.
Okay.
Wrap some fabric around it. I say, honey, find out if an A-line dress fits you better. Find out if a sundress fits you. If you ain't, because some folks, they put on a belt, their body shape is better for a different type of, you see what I'm saying? So you got to find out what complements your body type.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think so oftentimes we either jealous or we just, you know, let's just put it on the table, put it out there. Stop hating on that girl because she still got that little figure and you trying to figure out what's going on with yours. Stop
hating on me because I'm a big girl and can rock with the best of them, whatever, and totally fine.
But
you
that's
know,
not right, girl.
You're
a model. You're a model.
Don't hate me for that, though. don't hate me because you're a size 22 and you know you weighing shirts up to your neck and down to your feet because, you know, whatever. And then, you know, my little Ray of Sun come on and had these little fat arms out with the makeup on and face beat. And I'm happy. Don't be mad about that. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever, because I'm real happy and you still going to be mad.
Still gonna be mad. Yes, yes. Like I say, don't make your issue my issue. I'm not gonna make your issue my issue. So you got the issue, not me. And we can all work through it if you're ready to do the work. How about that? Okay, Rita, we down to the why. We done been on here. Let's see. Oh Lord, we done had a good old time. We done been on here almost 2 hours, y'all. What is that?
Yeah, hour and a half, yeah.
Well, look, let's go ahead and call the show on in. Go ahead and sign off for us, Tammy Lily. Go on, sign off for us.
All righty. Well, I enjoyed speaking to you ladies. I enjoyed conversating with you ladies as always. I enjoyed the topics. I laughed. You put some things in perspective. You got a lot of me had some moments where I'm like, you know what, that right there, that's true. I never thought about it like that. So I always enjoy having these moments. I always enjoy having the moments where, you know, that thinking moment, put things, you know, I'm excited about this platform. Every time I look forward to it, every single Wednesday. Anybody who got online with us or who's listening to the replay, please make sure you join us on Wednesday at 10 o'clock Central Time. Join in the conversation. Listen in. I know it will be some things that you may, you know, need to hear, some perspectives you need to hear. If you have any suggestions, Ladies and Sisters United, please put some questions, suggestions out there. We will definitely bring it to the table. There's nothing out there that is going, that's untouched. So we can talk about any topic. There's no things that's untouched. Bring it. If you got a controversial topic, bring it. We'll discuss it. You know, you could be a part of it. So.
All right. Rita, sign off for us.
Yes, ma'am. I enjoyed it. I love having conversation that makes you think. And like you said, outside of your own thinking, I think it's just a great form of communication, being able to see other women's perspectives. Because like she was saying, that sometimes you don't think of some things we may not think of, and or we see it only in our view. So I really enjoyed the conversation, and I really enjoyed the time speaking with you all. It has been great. And like she said, look, join us in on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. And so we can all have a great time speaking.
All right. Okay, Keisha.
Okay. Ditto to everything. I always enjoy. I look forward to this 10 o'clock meeting of the minds each week. I just want to encourage the ladies and the men, because I did have a man who commented and said it goes both ways. I want to encourage each of us to take perspective, you know, with self. Love on yourself. Love on yourself. You should be your best encourager. You know, because other people might not have time to do it or whatever. Know your worth, and just, you know, just be blessed, just be good or whatever. And I look forward to being on next week.
All right. Well, I've had a wonderful, wonderful time. We want to make sure that you tune in next week. Go to the Facebook page, the group. Ladies, it's open right now. Anybody can join. Okay, in a minute we will close it and make it to where you can request to join. But right now, you can go join and join the conversation of Sisters United. We love you. We'll talk to you next week.
Be blessed, everyone.